ready for Pats, Chargers, tail of the tape, Keith.
Yes, I am. You know what? Because I wouldn't be ready unless we did tail of the tape. I need a tail of the tape breakdown as much as I know that people need the keys, but that's not until Friday. So we'll save the keys to the game until Friday. So we're on the precipice of the game. We still have several sleeps, though, until the game. But now would be a good time to break down the old tail of the tape.
Okay.
Be safe out there, by the way. It is a little icy, Jones. It's a little, it's like a hockey rink out there.
Well, so this is what you were telling me.
It was like the Zamboni came through my driveway today.
So I did notice.
Fresh sheet. When we pulled in, your car was a touch icy. I did notice
that. Super icy.
I noticed that.
I did the responsible thing, though. I did scrape off the sides and the front and back. So I could see.
You could see out of the ice.
Visibly, I could see.
Now, Nick claimed he had to chisel into
chisel
his car this morning.
He had to get a rock and a chisel.
Had to break out the ice skates, go across the driveway.
Honestly, God,
Antarctica, a.k.a. Worcester.
You could have used skates today. It was just like a really nice, thin piece of ice.
There was a touch of ice this morning.
You were good, huh?
Yeah, but otherwise I was
You're
fine.
Closer to the equator than I am.
This is true.
Which is part of the reason why you don't deal with
that
is the snow and the ice that I deal with.
But yeah, you had a two-hour delay. Two-hour delay.
Kids, what do you do with that? Two-hour delay? I'm like, well, I don't have a two-hour delay.
Honestly,
I was going to call Ken. I'm like, are we on at noon today? Just so I can set the whole thing for everybody?
Honestly, I'm not sure what the Jones family would have done with a two-hour delay.
Thankfully,
I don't know the answer to that.
She's probably in the car with him right now. Shout out to the kids. Hello, Cece. Hello, Georgie.
Hey, guys.
They're probably going to school right now because, two-hour delay. It's almost like...
It's a good question. What would we do with a two-hour? I don't even know.
Aren't you almost better off with the day? Just like take the day?
Yeah.
Because 2 hours is like...
No, just make them go to school. What do you mean? Yeah, go to school. I just had 2 weeks off. You don't need a two-hour delay. Go to school.
Because some of the kids at Georgie's school is like, they do half days. Yeah. Some of them do. And so like they get no day because basically their whole day's over.
Yeah,
so like your day's off.
It's a two-hour day, yeah.
Like, well, can we come for the second half of the day? Like, no. You're out.
No, you're done.
So anyway, it was an absolute ice rink out there. So everybody, hopefully you are all right. Probably some big spills. Big spills. I like empty the salt container. I like empty that thing. Yeah, not good.
We're already
I don't
eating
know if I'm getting
that
bang for the buck for
2026
that
salt budget.
I know, big time.
Yeah, you've already gone
big
through
time.
That.
Up against it.
Yeah, you're going to need a mile, but you're rooting for more warming temperatures for the planet.
I need that. I need
moving
a good
forward.
Quick
yeah.
melt if they have it.
Okay.
I have looked into getting a flamethrower in the past.
Yeah,
they sell those.
To just de-ice the driveway.
To de-ice the driveway.
Yeah, that's smart.
And
blast your car with it.
And beef up the home security all at the same time.
Oh, nice,
like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at the end. But no, I always look into it every year because like instead of shoveling seems like that's a sucker's errand. That's a fool's errand, Jones.
Yeah.
You just
that's a good aerobic workout.
But if you torch your driveway, melt that sucker right down.
Yeah, you can do
that's
that.
That's what I need.
You can do that on the car. I don't think that's hazardous at all.
No, just
blast the car down.
It's all right. Stand back.
That's a good idea. I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you're out there, be safe.
Yeah,
for
please.
Sure.
Please.
As you're listening to Jones and Keefe here on a Would You Rather Wednesday, we'll do some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30. We also have the hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45. We had a mini preview of that with Wiggy and Keefe going back and forth.
Man.
Wiggy hates everything.
Wiggy doesn't like movies, and then neither does Greg. So Greg and Wiggy both do not like one battle after another.
Right.
Which kind of blows my mind. I thought that movie was great. And just because it's going to win every award, that doesn't mean it's great.
No.
It is going to. But I personally think the movie's really good. Nick also has seen it. Nick really likes it. But whatever. They don't like that. And then Wiggy went and saw Marty Supreme, which I kind of had a feeling he wasn't going to like. And he did not.
Is he going to jump on with Giolito and Bradfo and then the hashtag Dork podcast?
Maybe we should. Because I don't
just
know how those
balance.
Guys feel about it. Because if we all like it, then it's going to be like, we need to bring in another voice.
Yeah, just for some balance.
That's not a bad idea. Have Wiggy come in and yell at Giolito about Marty Supreme for an hour? It's actually a pretty great podcast.
So that's coming up in the hashtag Dork Minute, 11:45.
Yep, yep.
Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon.
Oof.
Talking about your second-seeded Celtics.
Yeah, they're rolling.
And we'll play you Mike Vrabel, his press conference, scheduled a little after 1 o'clock here today on a busy, busy Wednesday. All your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. I think it's a good day to do a tail of the tape, Keith.
I love a tail of the tape.
We want to get into this game.
Yep.
We want to preview it properly. We want to know how to pick the game. Not the keys, necessarily.
No, we'll save that.
That's Friday.
We'll sit
on those for a little bit. But a tail of the tape between the Patriots and the Chargers. We'll go position by position. few other extra categories, bells and whistles, I would say, in this as well.
Yeah, I think we have 15 different categories.
Perfect.
So there can't be a tie.
No.
Right, so somebody will have the edge.
Somebody, and then that we'll use that to inform our picks later on in
the
week.
I think so. I don't know how this is going to go. I didn't do it ahead of time.
Me either.
So, yeah, this is going to be on the fly.
No, you are not. We don't do this stuff ahead of time.
And so what we're going to do.
This is all very organic.
Normal kind of like tier rules where if you and I agree, great. And if we don't, Billy Lanny will break the tie and then we'll just keep moving on.
Great.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, it's a perfect system.
All right, good.
Okay, so we're starting with what?
Bill, do you want to read these? Do you want to have Billy go through these?
Yeah, Billy, why don't you.
Just to add another dynamic to
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
First up, quarterback.
All right, so you and I think, are both going to agree that it's Drake May, but let's just give the case for Herbert here for a second. So Herbert is, a lot of people around here think he's a loser because for so many years he would go up against the Patriots and lose up until last year. And he's obviously 0-2 in the playoffs and had a horrible performance. He is one of the three Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the AFC. He can run too, right? So, like, he has the ability to scoot a little bit as well. He's playing with a bad O-line, which we'll get to because, you know, there's so many injuries. But, you know, going into the year, I think most people would have said Herbert's better than Drake May. And if Drake May was better than Herbert, like, what an unbelievable season that is for Drake May. And that's what it's been. So I think the answer is Drake May. But I still think Herbert sometimes gets a little, I don't know, like, looked down upon.
Yeah, I think all that's
fair. Think it's like, he's not properly rated, is maybe my point.
Yeah, he's maybe underrated, especially here, based on the Patriots dominating him for years. But the answer's May.
Yes, if you want,
really, you were making a case.
We're having an orgasm over Drake May.
We're making a case of how close of a debate it would be.
Yeah, well, like, I just didn't want to, like, whistle past it, because I'm like, I think Herbert's better than that. Like, there are other quarterbacks in the AFC that if Drake May was going up against, we'd be like, it'd be a two-second conversation.
It would
be
May or Stroud.
All right, Drake May.
May or Rodgers.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
But with Herbert, like, Herbert is still pretty good, although a loss on Sunday, you're now 0-3 in the playoffs, and that's going to be tough to shake.
It will be.
Yeah.
Okay, the answer is Drake May.
Yep.
What's next, Bill?
Running backs.
I think you have to give this to the Patriots.
I think so, too. So the running backs for the Chargers are rookie Amarian Hampton, who only played in 9 games this year.
And he's good when he plays.
He did rush for 545. And 4 touchdowns in essentially half a season.
He catches passes too. He's a good back, but I think the combo and the way you have the two, like, say the rookies wash out Henderson and Amarian Hampton.
Yeah, Kamani Vidal.
Yeah.
Who actually led the team in rushing with 643 yards, only 3 touchdowns. But yeah, I would take, I mean, maybe it's recency bias the way he's played. I'd take Ramondre over both, and I'd take Henderson over both.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, depending on if Ramondre didn't run wild in this last game, or really these last handful of games, maybe I'd feel differently. But yeah, my answer there is Patriots.
Those two guys combined have 1 fumble, and they didn't even lose it.
Well,
so Hampton and Vidal have not lost a fumble.
That's an advantage.
That helps.
But I
think the other two guys have done so much, and they're also trending upwards that I agree. It's got to be the Patriots, first two.
Okay, what's next?
Wide receivers.
All right, this is the Chargers.
It should be, but can I introduce you to their numbers this year?
Sure.
All right, so their top 3 receivers would be Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen, the corpse of, and Quentin Johnston, who you and I don't like, but has been productive at times.
He had a good year, though.
All right, the 3 of those guys were all pretty close. Like, they're like a 3-headed monster, a Cerberus, if you will, at wide receiver. None of them had 1,000 yards. None of them had 900 yards. None of them had 800 yards. Ladd McConkey had that awesome rookie year. I still think he's a really good player.
Me too.
But there was one where we're like, oh my God, Elliott Wolf's so dumb. He traded away the pick that was Ladd McConkey. He got Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. That still is right there. Like, that is still relevant to this conversation. But he had a step back. He played in 16 games this year, and McConkey only had 66 catches. Like, didn't you think he was going to be more of like a knock on the door of a 100 catch guy?
Yes.
I did.
But I think they are more balanced than the Patriots, who are a little Diggs heavy. I would just say this. I mean, Diggs had a really good year, but then they're really pretty banged up beyond that.
Yeah.
Like, if Mac Hollins were healthy, maybe it'd be more of a debate. He's not.
Good point. Yeah, because then you go to Booty and Douglas, I guess.
Efton Chisholm.
Yeah, so maybe put it this way. Like, of the seasons they've had,
like, if you Diggs might be the best out of the group, but who has the best room? I would give that to the
that
Chargers.
That trio?
Yeah.
But going into the year, it should have been an overwhelming advantage for the Chargers, and it's actually way closer than it should be.
I'm with you.
I would ultimately give it to the Chargers, but the fact that the Patriots do have the best guy of the bunch is pretty promising.
I would imagine some of that, maybe I'm wrong, Herbert had 512 attempts this year. How much did May throw it?
Like, less.
You think even less than that? Oh, yeah, way less. 492. Yeah, less. So actually, the Chargers threw more than I thought. Okay. I'd still go with their group, but I thought maybe Herbert would have thrown it fewer times.
So Johnston did have 8 touchdowns. Ladd McConkey had 6, even though his season was not as good as his rookie year. And Keenan Allen had 4. So, I mean, that's 18 touchdowns to those 3 receivers. So, yeah, I'll give it to them, but I would say it is a very slight edge for the Chargers.
Yeah, certainly closer than you would have thought coming into the year. Okay, so the Chargers have their first check mark at wide receiver. What's next, Bill?
Tight ends.
Yeah, that's the Patriots.
It is. Oronde Gadsden was not bad, though, for the Chargers. He had,
a super hot month.
664 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns.
It was in basically 3 games.
Yeah, is that what I was going to say? He had, like, one stretch. And
he had,
I did
2 back-to-back 100-yard receiving games and then nothing.
I didn't get him anywhere.
Tyler Conklin?
No.
No, the Patriots, our guy, best friend of the show, Hunter Henry, and then even Austin Hooper, who you are always surprised by his athleticism. I would say those 2 guys for sure. And it's a revenge game for Henry.
Good point. So that one is for the Patriots. What's next?
Defensive line.
Oh, no, I think we skipped one.
Oh, offensive line.
Offensive line. I think, doesn't that have to be the Patriots, or just they're mostly healthy? The Chargers are not.
Yeah, I think if you gave the Chargers their 2 starting tackles, it might be them, or it should be them.
I think it would be them, but if they're healthy. They're not healthy, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's the Patriots.
Okay. Patriots, it sounds like are probably going to be down Jared Wilson in this game. I was reading through Mike Reese, so Ben Brown probably gets another start.
I feel like Ben Brown's fine.
I think that's been fine as well.
And Ben Brown's
so good they extended him.
Yeah.
He feels like a Ryan Wendell type where you're like, you go into the season where he's not your starter, but if you need him to play center, he can. If you need him to play guard, he can. And you don't really lose your mind over it. Like, yeah, you'd prefer Wilson, but like Ben Brown's fine.
Okay. Let's keep going here, Bill.
Defensive line.
There it is.
Defensive line.
Okay. I think with the return of Milton Williams, don't you have to go Patriots?
I do think for scheme-wise and system-wise, like, where do you draw the line on, like, who's an interior D-line player versus an edge player versus a linebacker? But, yeah. I would say on the D-line, D-tackles effectively, Barmore and Milton Williams is advantage Patriots, yeah.
Jeez. It's kind of looking like it's Patriots.
Keep going.
Okay, right.
What else?
Edge rushes.
Edge rush.
All right, this has to be them, doesn't it?
It's hard to make the case for the Patriots, I think.
This has to be them.
Yeah.
So this is, again, where it's like, I don't really understand their scheme breakdown over there.
Yeah.
But, like, they have a guy with 13 sacks. Owe, who they traded for, has another 7.5 sacks this year.
Yeah. And so it's not just from the edge.
Khalil Mack is another depth player there.
They have, as a team, I think 10 more sacks than the Patriots. Now, that's everybody, right? So that could be, you know, what, a corner blitz for all I care. But still, I think that one you do probably have to give to the Chargers.
Okay, yeah. Let's go edge rusher to the Chargers. That's their second check mark in addition to wide receiver. What else?
Linebackers.
Okay. Who is there? Perryman is there.
Yeah, they still have him, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Their leading tackler, Deion Henley, had 103 tackles this year, another 3.5 sacks, couple of picks.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, Spillane, Ellis, Gibbons were top 3 in tackles. Spillane and Ellis just shy of 100 total tackles. We've seen all those guys make some good plays, kind of quiet at times.
I would just say I'm pretty underwhelmed by the Patriots linebacking
it's
play
not
this
a super
year.
Super important position.
So almost by default, I'm going Chargers on this one, but I guess we'll see how that one plays out. I don't pretend to be overly well versed in that rule.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Patriots are strong there, and statistically the Chargers are better, so I'll give them the edge. Their defense has been really good.
But their defense has been a strength. The defense is not really up for debate. They've been a lot better than their offense has been this year. So, yeah, I don't have any problem giving them the edge.
Chargers, you got linebacker. Yep. What else?
Cornerbacks.
All right, that's Patriots.
100%.
That is, 100%. And Carlton Davis has not had the greatest year.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you feel about Carlton Davis?
I mean,
I feel like he's so close to a lot of plays. Like, he's right there.
I thought he was really coming on in the Bengals game. Is that what it was? And then, he was not good. The horrible pass interference against the Dolphins this weekend. I still think that duo, and honestly, Christian Gonzalez is underwhelmed. Davis hasn't been great, but I still think that combo is a better cornerback combo. Let's give the Patriots the edge there.
Okay.
Safeties.
I got to go Derwin James.
Yeah, that has to be.
Hunter Henry called him out. He's one of the best safeties in the league. So, yeah, the Patriots safeties have been okay. You know, going into the year, we're wondering what they were going to look like when they cut Duggar and Peppers and they said goodbye to those guys. So, they haven't been bad, but yeah, I would say Chargers.
Just been erased.
Yeah, I mean, I like the eraser, but.
I don't ever remember him making any plays. He fell asleep on the touchdown this past weekend. I like him
a little
as well.
Snooze.
Yeah.
Hawkins had a pick.
He did. He had 4 this year, but the edge goes to the Chargers there. What else?
Kickers.
All right.
How do you feel about the Dicker kicker?
Dicker the kicker?
Best kicker in the league.
You think so?
He was 38 out of 41, 93%, compared to 27 out of 32, 84% for Borgalis.
Okay.
Borgalis hit a long of 59.
Both did.
Dicker hit a long of 59. Extra points, 97% to Dicker for Borgalis, 96%. I guess I don't understand what case you would make for Borgalis.
Nice guy. rookie. Yeah, you probably got to go Dicker. Dicker had a couple recent misses.
I think you have to.
Right?
I
mean, he was rolling.
He was 100 of 100 inside 40 yards.
Borgalis just missed. I mean, it was blocked, but he just missed.
No, but Borgalis had some misses early. Like, Dicker had like a streak going, I think. And then was it 2 weeks ago where he missed an extra point and a field goal? Like in the same game?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I would say Dicker gets the edge there.
Chargers are starting to get some check marks here,
they
Keith.
Kind of are.
It's a little scary.
They're picking up steam.
Okay, a few more categories.
Head coach.
This might be our bias.
Yeah.
And we're closer to it. I think Jim Harbaugh's a good coach, but I would prefer Mike Vrabel.
Okay. I mean, we're not counting national championships.
No, NFL head coach.
Okay.
But Jim Harbaugh got to a Super Bowl.
He did. It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
You know, I mean, yeah. I heard a lot of the debate. We're going to get into John Harbaugh coming up.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we're treating John Harbaugh's Super Bowl win like it barely counts. I mean, let's not really go to Jim Harbaugh and getting to a Super Bowl a decade plus ago.
That was a long.
He also cheated for his national championship.
Good point. Thank
good
you.
Point. They
Mike
ran
Vrabel.
Him out of town.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel's
okay,
the
good.
Answer. I agree.
Vrabel.
All right, have we needed a tiebreak from Billy yet?
We haven't yet.
Okay. Well, we're getting to some controversial ones.
We almost did on the kicker. But
it was close. You wanted to.
Uniforms.
All right, uniforms. We did seed this out in the Jones and Keefe uniform bracket, and we had the Pat Patriot uniform hire.
So here's my question. Are we talking about the uniforms they're going to be wearing on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not best on best?
No. No, best on best would be Patriots.
Best on best would be Patriots, but the Chargers' best is also very good.
It would be a great uniform battle if it was best on best.
Oh, what a matchup.
But we're not getting
that.
We're getting the Patriots' crappy uniforms against... I honestly don't know what for the Chargers.
Either. Probably decent, though.
But it's better than the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I hate to say it, Chargers. But you've got to give the uniform edge to the Chargers.
Yeah. Yep.
Celebrity fans.
All right. So celebrity fan, this guy is
celebrity
called
fans?
The Silver Bullet is what
no.
Terp was referring to.
Are you talking about like just weirdos that go to the games? Are you talking about like the Wahlbergs?
Oh, I thought we were talking about
like ones in the stands, like Aztec Geno for the Celtics.
That's
a celebrity fan.
I don't know.
I would think like Maria Menounos would be like a celebrity fan.
All right. Okay. So who has the edge in your mind? I have to rethink my stance on this.
Let me just
the Wahlbergs. Who else do they have? Who do they have?
All right. I'll tell you who they have.
Oh, good.
Think of some Patriots fans while I tell you
the
five most prominent fans for the Chargers.
Terrific.
Mario Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Crews.
Yep.
Liv Schreiber.
Okay.
Josh Peck.
Who?
And Marshmallow.
Oh, the DJ.
The DJ Marshmallow.
I think.
Josh Peck from Drake and Josh.
Wait, that's who that is?
Yes.
Yeah. He loves the Chargers.
He's number four?
Well, according to this.
Ahead of Marshmallow.
According to Google AI.
The list I have has Sean Merriman under the Chargers fans.
Yeah, but he likes them. Yeah.
Patriots
have a better celebrity fan.
Oh, okay, I thought we were talking about.
Kendra Wilkinson. She's under the Chargers umbrella.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
Is it?
Well, nice enough. Okay. Edge for the Patriots. What else?
Yeah.
Last one, mascot.
All right.
Before you answer, the Chargers mascot is obviously Boltman.
He's a, we have to ask, who is the Chargers mascot?
He's a lightning bolt. He's like a fan. He looks like a lightning bolt, mm-hmm. and his name is Boltman. He is beloved.
Okay.
Yeah. He also briefly had a service dog
in
2020 named Bolt.
Okay.
He doesn't count, though, for this.
He doesn't. No. The dog doesn't count. Boltman.
No.
I'm going with Pat the Patriot.
He's in the. Let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
I know you care about this when we did our top five sports mascots. Boltman is in the Mascot Hall of Fame.
He is?
Yeah, he is.
Well, I have
he looks like a big dumb idiot, though, so I think.
I have to bend the knee.
His smile's creepy.
All right, well, we'll disagree on this one.
All right,
I'm going Boltman.
I'm going to go Pat Patriot.
I'll defer to those who vote on the Hall of Fame. They know what they're doing. Billy, you want to break the tie?
Based on the weird smile on Boltman, I'm going with Pat the Patriot.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, Pat Patriot.
Right, so we have
his grin is creepy. Tail of the tape. Add him up over there.
All right. Patriots have quarterback, running back, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, cornerback, head coach, celebrity fan, mascot.
Hell yeah.
So that's 9.
9-6.
Hell yeah.
Patriots, tail of the tape.
Shaping up to be a good weekend.
It's science. You heard it here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get into all your thoughts on the matchups. What did we leave out? What did we get wrong? And, How informative will this be for Pats and Chargers on Sunday? 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We'll get into Harbaugh on the way out, actually already out, in Baltimore.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Those in the Baltimore organization and those out of the Baltimore organization tried to figure out what was wrong. Was something wrong with Lamar Jackson? Was the relationship between Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson broken? Was there something that they could do to kind of keep this together? Was staff changes going to be the answer here? And you know, talking to people in the building, they have really been wondering, like, is Lamar okay? And what is at the root of all of this? And I'm not saying that that's the reason that they fired John Harbaugh, but you got to think that that has contributed to this.
Ian Rappaport on John Harbaugh fired in Baltimore after 18 years.
Wow.
We mentioned it very briefly yesterday on the show that he might not be safe. And we
you think
talked
they
about,
hurt us?
We talked. No, I just I would just say it wasn't like completely out of left field. Like, I think anybody who's like, what? I never saw this coming. We mentioned yesterday it was kind of coming down to like Harbaugh or Lamar. So I don't think it's totally out of left field that something big was going to happen in Baltimore. It was either the coach or the quarterback. And in fact, you said, Keefe, well, I think I know which way they're going to go. Like, yeah, they're not going to get rid of Lamar. And they got rid of Harbaugh yesterday. I think there's a few other coaches worth watching. McDermott in Buffalo, LaFleur in Green Bay, Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Like, I don't know that any of those guys are like totally safe.
Mm-hmm.
But Harbaugh could be the last actual head coaching change, or at least head coaching firing.
Yeah.
And Rap Sheet there seems to make it seem like, and he's not the only one, that it had a lot to do with the friction between coach and quarterback.
Yeah, you wonder if Tyler Loop makes the field goal, they go into the playoffs, and they lose in the first round. Is it the same result, or are they like, hey, we made the playoffs, so let's figure it out again?
I bet if they lost their first playoff game, like, say, to who would they be playing, the Texans?
Yeah.
I bet.
Still get fired?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. You wonder about, maybe you win one game, though, because it's like, well, the friction's still going to be there. There's still going to be an issue, it seems like, between Harbaugh and Lamar, and you had to make a choice. It was still surprising, even though we heard for a while about these two, and obviously it wasn't a great season for them, because anytime you fire somebody and they immediately become the top candidate and teams would fire their coach to get them, you got to wonder about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what was the Schefter tweet?
It happened with the Bruins twice. Yeah. They fired a guy and then they like, no, three times.
The Schefter tweet yesterday was like, there are seven vacancies and seven teams have inquired. And you're like, well, the Ravens didn't inquire, so somebody with an employed coach has checked in.
And then I think there's even been other reporters that are like, yeah, more than one team that has a coach now is interested in Harbaugh. But they don't want to, obviously, because they'd rather, you know, keep their guy than anybody else that's available. But if they get Harbaugh, they'll get him.
Yeah, and it might be like a team that's still playing. It might be Buffalo for all you
know. I have a working theory now, too. Not a theory, but more of something.
Conspiracy?
No. It's when coaches get fired, it's sort of like the tier list of fired coaches. So if you really suck, you get fired in season. If you just suck, you get fired on Sunday.
The
second after the game.
Oh, okay.
If you suck a little less than that, you get fired on Monday.
Doesn't Gerard Mayo already blow this theory to smithereens or no?
Well, so here's my theory. So Urban Meyer got fired before the season ended.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo got fired before he could get to his car after the game. Most coaches get fired on what they call Black Monday.
Yep.
But then coaches who are actually pretty good and they want to be like, give
extra
them a,
day?
Yeah, they give them like
so
Tuesday.
I was
like,
thinking
Harbaugh, wasn't Belichick a month
Bill,
or Tuesday?
Bill
or
got like
guy?
A day or two.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah,
so
yeah,
they're
like,
we don't want to throw you in there with the other scrubby guys.
Yeah.
We're not going to embarrass you and fire you like the second the game ends. And we're not going to like really embarrass you by firing you in season. So there's four different times to get fired. And the one that teams feel like is the most respectful is like Tuesday.
Yeah, give
like we actually really like you. And we're going to issue a statement. Like, we do respect you. It's all the same. It's all the same result.
To a degree on like, oh, well, if everybody's just going to line up and hire your coach, then you shouldn't move on from him, or it just makes you hesitate. Like, just because other teams want Harbaugh doesn't mean Baltimore should have kept him. Like, the shelf life, it might be done there. You know, like,
yeah, no, that happened. I mean, Terry Francona is a good example of that.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you mean by that, but it is kind of
like Doc. Everybody hires Doc. He stinks.
Patriots traded Doc. Or sorry, Celtics traded Doc.
That's
like, you wonder if there's a way to trade the coach. Like, if everybody wants him so bad, like, is there some value? Sean Payton.
So
like,
that,
is there some
look,
value there?
I'll go with you on
that.
Yeah. Okay. Could they have traded Harbaugh instead?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I'm not saying you have to force the Harbaugh Lamar thing to work. Maybe it won't work. Right? Like, Bill and Brady worked great for 20 years, and then it didn't. But nobody got they didn't trade Brady, right? So that was sort of like a question mark. Like, why didn't you figure out a way to get something in return? So the Ravens just cut this guy loose, and now you're going to have a third of the league try to get him. You're like, oh, maybe we could have traded him. But whatever.
You think Lamar's behind it?
Yeah, I think he has to be. I mean, why would
I think when any coach gets fired,
yeah, who's
and
the best
like
player?
A prominent quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that Bailey Zappi and Dak were factoring too much into the end of Bill. But
No. But there are certain guys. Yeah, there's clearly MVPs are one of them. It was like when Giannis was asked about Budenholzer. He's like, yeah, it wasn't my call.
I have no idea.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was new. They woke you up and told you?
NBA is another good one.
NBA
like
happens all the time.
A superstar player or, you know, a premier quarterback, they're going to have, I mean, if he adamantly wanted Harbaugh would be there, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Cam Newton, doesn't this mean that Lamar's not a game changer? He got coach fired.
Good point.
Great point.
Yeah.
That's true.
In his face.
He's not in the playoffs, though, so I don't think Cam Newton had him on his list, but good point.
No.
Good gotcha. But, gotcha journalism there, Nick.
But it is a little bit of a turnover. We talk about how every year there's like between 6, 7, and 8 openings, and there's only a handful of guys that have been with their team a long time, especially after Bill got let go. And it was Harbaugh, it was Tomlin, and you know Andy Reid. And now Harbaugh's the latest to go. So that's a big change for the AFC because I also think it does relate to the Patriots in that sense where you were like, that was one of the teams the Patriots were looking up at least going into the year.
Yep.
I mean, the Ravens won 12 games last year. They won 13 games and were in the conference championship 2 years ago. So you're like, all right, that's one of the four teams with a great quarterback ahead of you. And now they're in disarray.
So do you think Harbaugh can be Vrabel next year in that he goes somewhere and turns them around in 1 year?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Where do you think he's going?
If I was him, I would go to Cleveland.
That's a better question. Not where do you think he's going? You would take the Cleveland job? Why?
Yeah, just to stick it to the Ravens.
Oh, in the division?
Yeah, just to stick it to the Ravens.
Yeah, but that's like a great... That's like clapping back at a Twitter egg, Keith. You know what I mean? Like, that's like...
Yeah,
that's
no,
like,
maybe... Like, and then once you're there, you're like...
It feels really good when you clap back at a Twitter egg, but then like...
I made a huge mistake.
The euphoria ends really quickly, and you're like, oh man, why'd I do that? That's how he would feel.
True.
That's how he would feel. And
I mean,
so,
maybe it depends on like where you feel like you can get the resources. I also saw one that said Harbaugh's it might have been Russini or somebody was like, if Harbaugh wants to get like a GM fired, he could do that too. Like he could go in there
take over the whole football operation.
Take over the whole thing, or even like bring in his guy, right? Almost like a Vrabel thing where it's like,
yeah. So would I want to marry myself to Joe Shane? Probably not. But I think the Giants' job is probably the best job. We said yesterday it's the Giants or the Raiders. I mean, now the Ravens is a good gig, but he's not going there.
You got to figure out quarterback with the Raiders. Obviously,
I think I would take the Giants' job.
I just think Dart is gonna be. He's gonna be in the blue tent most of the season again.
But don't you think he's the kind of coach like Vrabel with May that can coach some of the wildness out of him?
Or if I'm Harbaugh, I wait. Don't do anything. Rash, wait a week. There might be 3 more openings. Because I think we're looking at the list, which won't be the same list available to him.
Yeah.
Like Tampa Bay, go coach Tampa Bay. Turn them around or push them over the top, I should say. Not turn them around, just push them over the top. Or if you said if Buffalo ends up moving on from McDermott or Green Bay or whatever, because he's now at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think Kevin Stefanski is also a good candidate somewhere. But he can pick wherever he wants, and there's probably teams right now that are sitting there looking at like, well, we have our guy right now, but we get Harbaugh.
Well,
kick him out the door.
I bet he's got a good idea, too,
on of course.
What jobs are going to shake free. And, all these agents were calling, all these teams were calling Harbaugh's agent yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. My sense is a lot of people had a good feeling that this domino could get tipped over.
Yeah.
And I think he's already got a good idea on what jobs that aren't open yet have the potential to open up. But out of the vacancies that I see, I would take the Giants job, personally.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they at least have a quarterback, I guess.
The weirdest thing about Baltimore, and the Raiders could get one with the number one pick. I'd take more over Mendoza, but whatever. The weirdest thing about the Ravens is we talked about how like bad of a how bad the coaching candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
And now Harbaugh is the clear-cut one, but
another
you're not.
A weird reason, right? You get rid of him, and you're like, all right, now who do you want? And
right.
Are you making your own decision, or is Lamar a part of that process? And then you're like down a road where I don't know how that's going to go.
So
that usually ends badly in the NBA.
So I don't know who the next guy is in Baltimore, but if it wasn't working with Harbaugh, and it didn't appear to be this year, whether it's between him and Lamar or whatever, and I do think he's a good coach, but every coach has a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Francona and Doc and all these guys. We talk about a million of them, right? Cassidy, they all have shelf lives. So at some point, it's okay to move on from him. I'd actually probably take Cassidy off that list. He probably could have had more shelf life here in Boston.
I probably could have.
But okay, you fire him. Now you got to bring somebody in, and it feels like a bad field.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who that is. And it's been a long time since they've had a vacancy there in Baltimore. He's only their third head coach in franchise history. This new hire will be the fourth one.
Yeah, and the first guy was there for like 2 years.
Archibroda was
Archibroda was barely there
a couple years.
It's just been Billick and Harbaugh.
So we'll see what they end up doing. But it is a seismic move in the AFC. And I think there's a good chance Harbaugh can go somewhere and be Vrabel next year if he makes the right decision like Vrabel did. 617-779-7937. We'll take your thoughts on the Patriots and Chargers tale of the tape, which should be up shortly at Jones and Keefe. If it isn't, oh, I see it is. Turpa just tweeted that out in the last minute.
Oh, did he really?
At Jones and Keefe, the official tale of the tape. We're telling you who's going to win, Patriots and Chargers, based on science. Go seek that out. Take your thoughts on it. You can weigh in on Harbaugh as well. And we'll get to the Bruins. Another loss last night in ugly fashion. That's next. Ugly one last night for the Bruins out in Seattle. You knew it was going to go rough with Frazier back in town against all his old pals.
Keith. I know. Probably a late night for Frazier.
It was, not a happy birthday for Judd. It was Judd's birthday last night.
Happy birthday, Judd.
Happy belated.
Happy late birthday to Judd.
To Judd. He didn't sound very happy there.
No, he didn't get the gift that he wanted most.
With the Kraken scoring goal after goal after goal.
Yeah, they put up a bunch of goals the Bruins.
So 7-4. It was nice to see Swayman out there for most of it last night. giving up goal after goal after goal. One of those blow-up games that Razor used to tell us.
Yeah,
about,
toss those out. Yeah, he's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, if you don't count those.
Razor would also tell us the last game on a road trip.
Well, no.
Hornets nest.
You said this yesterday.
That's a bear trap.
Last game on a road trip, yeah. First game on a homestand?
Forget it.
Come on. You're at that.
So
who
tomorrow
wins
night,
yeah.
Punt.
Yeah.
They're not winning that one.
Get your loser point if you're lucky.
Oh, please.
If all goes well.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate.
So the Bruins now have a record of 22-19-2 in every other sport that's known as 22-21. they have a -6 goal differential. Yeah. They are 3-5-2, 3-7. Out of their last 10.
Eats.
They're sinking like a stone
Eats
in the
indeed.
East. They're only 3 points out of last place in the Eastern Conference, Keith.
Right.
Because you could flip it around and say they're 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Are they back to gagging for Gavin?
Maybe.
Well, it's funny. We looked
three
at
3 points yeah. out of last place, and they've played more games than every team save for the Rangers and Red Wings in the East, and they're way behind Detroit.
Was it a month ago or so we were looking at a Greg Wyshynski article where he was kind of projecting forward all the teams and saying who he thought most likely to be a playoff team and everything else. And the Bruins at that time were either first or second in the division.
And he had them last in the division.
He's like, they're the worst team in the division.
Yeah,
and
right.
We're like, I don't know. They're up there.
Right,
he's like,
now,
no, they're the worst team in the division.
They have 46 points in 43 games.
Yeah.
They're only ahead of Ottawa, who has 45 and 41. They trail the Maple Leafs, who played one fewer game. And
yikes.
The Panthers, who played one fewer games.
So they have, you know, a lot of different issues, obviously, on the team. They still overall aren't extremely talented, and maybe they were playing a little above their level at that time when they were at the top of the division. I do think Hampus Lindholm's injuries that he has had this season have been significant.
The hamper's been like the key to the whole year.
He really has. Like, I got to look this up. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but like, what's the record when he plays versus when it isn't? He's one of those guys that you wouldn't think, like, at the beginning of the year, you'd be like, oh, you can't lose Pastrnak, can't lose McAvoy, can't lose Swayman, Morgan Geeky, you can't lose these guys. It's like, no, Hampus, he's the glue guy. You don't have him, and they fall apart. I mentioned Geeky. At one point, he was on pace for, like, 60 goals.
Slowing down.
Dry spell. A little bit of dry patch. I think it's 7 straight games now without a goal.
Well,
which, for most players, isn't the end of the world. But for a guy that was on pace for 60.
Well, and for this team, who else scores? Pasta had two last night. But, like, but who else scores? It's those two.
No, it's those two guys. So they are sort of the Denny Green. They are who we thought they were.
Yep.
Right? Like, they probably aren't the worst team in the league. But they're also not a playoff team. So you're in that really bad spot.
Here's our guy, Marco Sturm.
Sturminator.
I would say disappointed with the effort last night.
We were immature. I can tell you that. And that's what all happened today. You know, they didn't do anything. They went back in their zone. They stopped. They went up and down the ice. And we made the mistakes. And, of course, penalties hurt us again from all of them. So, and then all of a sudden you give up, you know, 2 points here, who we definitely should have grabbed it today, and that's the most frustrating and disappointing part of it.
Okay.
Our brain was empty today a little bit.
It's like they didn't do anything.
We just
sucked.
He's like, yeah. We're immature. Yeah. They didn't do anything.
No, nothing on their end.
We took too many penalties, which the Bruins have taken the most penalties in the league. 605 penalty minutes. Next up is Tampa Bay at 564.
That's not ideal.
And some of the situations where they take them, it's like they're already on the kill, and they take another penalty to make it a 5-on-3. Boom. Immediately, Seattle scores. or like, oh, you just get a goal to get back into the game. Boom, penalty, Seattle scores. Like, situationally, they're even worse, but they take the most penalties in the league. And, yeah, that's a coach that sounds a little frustrated with his team, and I don't blame him based on the way they're playing.
Yeah, and it's just you don't really see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel here with this team either, right? Like, they're just kind of floundering around.
It feels like they've been playing over their heads, and now they're turning into what we thought they would be. You said it earlier, Mike Singletary, this is what we thought.
No, Mike, Danny Green.
I'm sorry, Danny Green.
Mike Singletary can't win with him.
Well, also this team. I'm sorry. Hey, can't win with this team.
Both apply. Throw in a Jim Mora. Playoffs. Like, they're all.
It's all applying to the Bruins. Yeah. That's true. All of these great rants.
They, because, you know, you just. They are what we thought they were, in fact. And it's like that middle ground where they have some high end players. And it's just kind of leveled off, combined with other teams starting to catch up to them games played-wise. And some of the teams that they were ahead of for a while, they were playing so much worse than they actually are. Right? So they were like, oh, the Eastern Conference or the Atlantic Division might be more wide open. Or did a couple teams just get off to really slow starts, and they were eventually going to pass you by as you were sinking? And so that's kind of where they are.
Yeah, right. Like, teams like Toronto and Florida.
Yeah.
You're not better than those teams. You were for like a couple of months. You were ahead of them in the standings, but you're not better than those teams.
No.
Mark in Medford's been waiting patiently on the Patriots. I know he always wants to talk bees as well. So, Mark, take it wherever you want.
I do have a Patriots comment and a Bruins comment. First, a Patriots comment. I think there's one guy on the Chargers, and I think Herbert's going to go to him a lot. And I think the Patriots just need to keep an eye on the rookie tight end, Aronde Gadsden.
Okay.
I just have a funny feeling he's going to fly in under the radar.
Okay.
And on the Bruins...
Tight ends have given them problems.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And on the Bruins, all I have to say is this. The ship is sinking fast, and there's a friggin' hole in the lifeboat as well.
yeah, right.
It's true.
Yeah, it's not a roomy lifeboat. There's like no... It's like Titanic style.
There may
it's
not
just
be
Kate Winslet. May not be enough of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Sturm.
Poor Sturm.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long year for Sturm.
He's wearing these losses. You hear his voice.
The guy was getting a job nowhere else. Not poor Sturm. Like, he's lucky he has this job.
Feel bad for you, Sturm. Hang in there, bud. Keep your head up.
I just love the guy doesn't talk to anybody all game long.
No.
Just stands there. He's just out to lunch on the bench the whole game. And then after the game, he's like, they're immature. The other team doesn't do anything. Like, he comes out like punching around at people
he's
after
got
the game.
Good stuff.
It's all pent up.
They're like, hey, coach, maybe let us know how you feel during the game at
all. He
doesn't
speak for 2.5 hours, nice. And then he just lets it fly after the game. I do kind of love that about him.
Super quiet for 2.5 hours that he starts a podcast.
All right, that's your Bruins. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. We've done the tale of the tape. It's up at Jones and Keefe. Who has the advantage? And Patriots and Chargers. Go seek that out for yourself. But it was very detailed and very. We went very in depth. Okay, we're being informed, Keefe, that not all of our categories have impact on the field on Sunday.
Oh, is that right?
Which is insightful.
Yeah.
By some of the Twitch chat members, YouTube chat members, texters as well, sending that in. We appreciate it. But go seek out the tale of the tape. Meantime, where does Drake May fit in the playoff field of quarterbacks? You got to win one game in the postseason. How would we rank the playoff quarterbacks? We'll get to it next.